He gave us a break.
Okay, just later on. I've been dealing with sins of the tongue, speech sins. Gossip is the overall term that covers words that are specifically given in the Bible. Those specifics would be backbiting, evil whispering, talebearing, slander, and busybody. Now, a critical spirit always accompanies these sins of the tongue. And these sins of the tongue stem from a negative, critical spirit. They do not come out of a positive, complimentary spirit. You never hear about tail-bearing in a positive sense. You never hear about slander in a complimentary way. And so it's a given that a critical spirit always accompanies these sins of the tongue. And these particular misuses of the tongue never build up a Christian. Okay? Neither the one speaking, doing the slander, nor of the one who is spoken about. They never strengthen an individual, whether it's the one doing the talking or the one who's being talked about.
Amen. That's good.
Negativism, which is what is involved with the critical spirit and these sins of the tongue, negativism is like a disease. It can be caught and it can be spread, and it is infectious. Whenever this negative critical spirit exists, just like a disease infects and harms the healthy parts of the body, so a negative spirit and any of these sins of the tongue will always infect and harm a positive or the soul of a person, the heart and the mind of a person. You think about what I just said, and it's really just, well, yeah, we know that. I mean, I'm not saying anything that's rocket science. It's just that because our old nature, our natural man, so readily misuses the tongue and has this negative critical spirit, we don't want to think of it. Okay? And let me move on some more here. A critical spirit is like a school subject. Now, I don't think any of the school students want to be reminded that we're probably only 6-7 weeks away from school. Oh, isn't that awful? Just think about it, you know? And just like a school subject, a critical spirit can be taught. Now, how do we teach it? If the people in a home demonstrate a critical spirit, it's like teaching it. You know, you don't have to teach a child 2 years old how to lie, do you? You don't have to teach a 3-year-old how to steal. Okay? They find it very easy to take something. I would imagine this young one when he was maybe just two or three, saw things that this fella had and wanted them. And when he thought nobody was looking, he took them. Well, he didn't think about, you know, 2 and 3 years. Caleb wouldn't think about that as stealing. I mean, I'm serious, he wouldn't. A child doesn't think about that. He just sees something and wants it. And there's a lot of times that when it comes to the use of our tongue, we say things that we don't think about what we're doing. We're not intending it to be hurtful or harmful. It's just something that happens. Okay? Now, I know that sort of scenario wouldn't exist with any of the Montgomery kids. No. I mean, it wouldn't ever take place. And certainly, angelic-looking Autumn Ford never did any of those things, did she? Huh? Well, how would we get an opinion on that, Grace? Grace is going to plead the fifth. And so, a critical spirit like a school subject can be taught. And that means it can be learned. The Bible deals frequently with rebuking wrong. Listen to me. The Bible does not ignore sin. But gossip, tongue misuse of whatever sort, is not the way to deal with sin. So if there's someone that you know has sinned, you know them, you know what their sin was, gossiping about them is not the way to deal with that. You say, well, what is the way? That's a whole other message. But I'm telling you, running your mouth to somebody else is not how you deal with another person's sin.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to establish the Bible doesn't ignore it. But what about other stuff? What other stuff? Other situations that are not sin. You see, there's a lot of living that we do and a lot of situations in life that people will gossip about, but it's not sin. For example, the performance of one's duties. The performance of one's duties, that's not sin. But people can end up gossiping about it. Now, what do I mean, performance of one's duties? Well, like parenting. Not that any of us here ever had a thought about another one in the church and has been critical of their parenting. Surely not anyone here has ever been a busybody about another person's parenting. Or what about the church job? Sunday school teachers, trustees, deacons, servants of the church, pianists, vocalists, people on the cleaning teams. You see, that's a situation. That's not a sin. These are just situations. These are just stuff people do. But others can be critical of it and be slanderous about how an individual does something or that they didn't do something. You see, that's the other stuff. It's not a sin. It's just everyday performance of things. Now, what about your occupation? Where you work? You say, You know, well, that's not the church. Where I work isn't the church. Listen, God's word is by us supposed to be lived everywhere.
That's right. Yes, sir.
It's not just supposed to be lived inside these four walls. That's one of the problems that we have.
Yep.
People just think that they have to only live the Christian life here inside. No, you live it outside.
That's right.
In the four walls of where you live, in the four walls of where you work,
yes, sir.
In the four walls of the school you attend if you go to a school. And so, the Bible makes it very clear. We're going to run through some scriptures here. The tongue is to be restrained. Okay? Now, this other stuff that I illustrated, this is where backbiting and busybodying really comes into play. Okay? This is where one person can meddle in another person's business quicker than you can even think. Okay? We're to mind our own business. You don't want somebody minding your business, do you? Do you? Does anybody here want to say, yes, I want people to mind and meddle in my business? Of course, nobody's going to volunteer for that.
But,
you got a point there. But we nevertheless somehow give ourselves a pass when it comes to our giving judgment on somebody else's performance. All right, now let's look at some scriptures. The book of Psalms. Psalm 34 and verse 11. Psalm 34, verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Okay, this is what's involved with fearing the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loveth many days, that he may see good? There's a lot of people. Sort of rhetorical question. A lot of people desire life and want to see good days. Verse 13 says, if that's the case, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. You want to have a good life? You want to have good days? You want to have many days? Control your mouth. Am I reading it? Is that what's in there?
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Now let's go to Proverbs. Psalms, then the next book is Proverbs. And we're going to look at Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but that he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. You want trouble? Run your mouth. There it is.
Yep.
All right. There it is. Chapter 13, verse 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Now, you know, I could preach that in such a way as you wouldn't maybe get the bluntness of what I just said. But God's word is intended to help us.
That's right.
The King James language is beautiful and poetic, okay? But this, I mean, you can't, I mean, can you get any other understanding out of verse 3 than what I just gave? Keep your mouth shut. Keep your life. You want trouble? Open and run your mouth. Look at chapter 21. Still in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 23. Proverbs 21, 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, oh my goodness, keepeth his soul from troubles. I don't understand. I always have trouble. Just seems like I get one thing taken care of and another one comes in. Oh, what's God got against me? What do you got against yourself? Whoso keepeth his mouth, keepeth his tongue, and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. 1 Samuel chapter 2, going more toward the front of the Bible. That's a reminder for me as well. 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 2. No wonder it didn't look right. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I even did that at home when I looked these up. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, and there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Not just usual proudly. I mean, this is over the top proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. Wow. I mean, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. I just heard a flashback from the old nature. Therefore, I can't repeat it. That guy is so arrogant, he's an arrogant blank. Bible talking about arrogancy comes out of the mouth. You don't know a person's arrogancy, do you, if they keep their mouth closed? What's that old saying, you know, don't open your mouth and let everybody know how dumb you are. Keep it shut and they'll think you're smart. Something to that effect. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. God knows. God knows. I want to give you some practical help now in avoiding tongues of the sin. Avoiding tongue sins. Tongues of the sin. Sins of the tongue. Number one, read the Bible. Oh, well, I knew that was going to be part of it. That's part of everything. Well, it is. I went to the doctor one time. And I said to him, I was half facetious but half serious. I said to him, doctor, I don't care what I come in here, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, you're going to tell me exercise and losing weight is part of the cure. And I was half joking. Now, the half that wasn't being joked is the fact that he did that. Okay. Well, you know, he said, I can't think of a thing that could be wrong with you, but what that would be beneficial. You know, I wasn't upset or anything, because we liked that doctor very much. And you know, I've thought of it many times since, and he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. And so is it right that Bible reading is part of the cure for anything that's right. Not right in our life? Why? The Bible feeds our soul. So why the Bible says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. That means when you read it, then live it. Oh, that's not the easy part, is it? But how many times when we read it and don't like what it says, do we say, Lord, I don't like that. Oh, I never tell God that. Well, you may as well. He already knows. You think you're keeping something from him because you don't verbalize it? Get real. I mean, God, I don't like what that says. I'm very comfortable living that my way. You know, if we got honest enough with God to say that, we might just get at least 2 inches closer to God. Because we will be opening up within ourselves, to ourselves, something that's significant. And so, just ask God, so read the Bible, feed the soul, and then pray daily. Oh yeah, there's the other one. Oh, I'm going to pray all the time. Yeah, pray all the time. Jesus said, pray for them which despitefully use you. So you got that arrogant person. Are they in the family? In the family in the sense where you live? Are they in the family in the sense of your extended family? Siblings, cousins, aunts, uncles, and so on? Okay, extended family. They there? Pray for them. What about, did I take the guy at work? The arrogant guy at work? Okay. Jesus said, well, he can't mean it. That's got to be here at church. No, he means life. He didn't say pray for them at church which despitefully use you. He just said, pray for them which despitefully use you. You know, when we do that, it's going to be giving us a different mindset. I have a hard time being upset with somebody that I pray for.
That's right.
And through the years, when I'd have a church person. Now, I know our pastor doesn't have this problem. And no, I don't know any other pastors that did. But I know I did. And when I had a problem with the person, I'd start praying for them. I didn't feel like it. Okay? I was having trouble with them. But I knew it was going to be bigger trouble for me. And so I would start praying for them. And I wouldn't pray, God, judge them.
That's right.
Wrong attitude. I just pray, God, bless them. Help them. Things I knew about their life, I pray for God to provide and whatever. And the more I prayed for them, the less trouble I had with them. And sometimes they change, which I believe was God working to change them because I was dealing with me. I had you've seen the sign already, prayer changes things. I had a lady give me one time, and she was just sincere with it, okay? Prayer changes things. The thing it changes most is me. That's exactly here. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Now, 3 and 4 go together. Don't have an opinion unless you need one. Uh-huh. And 2, don't give an opinion unless you're asked. And maybe not even then. Now, you're going to have the control of the Holy Spirit for that. Because having an opinion, I mean, that just comes the same as breathing. I mean, I watch television. I like to watch the Home Garden TV network, and they have house hunters. And they have these people looking for houses. And they'll go into what is an absolutely fine kitchen. And the woman will say, oh, I couldn't live with these cabinets. And I said, get real, woman. Okay? And they'll walk in and she'll say, sometimes it's a fella too, but I don't like the color of this room. They sell paint, you know.
Amen.
That's right. You know, when I went over this message, and only this woman back here is going to know, how much I'm going to have to get some help on that. I don't need to have an opinion. It's only a TV program. It doesn't matter. And as she often tells me, Roger, it's in the script. And I got to deal with that. Because you see, that isn't so much a problem if I'm sitting there talking to the TV. They never listen anyway.
Yeah. I wonder why.
I don't know why. But you see, that same kind of thinking can carry over into other stuff.
That's right. Yes, sir.
If I wasn't a Christian under the control of the Spirit of God to the degree that I am, I could be guilty of road rage. If I wasn't such a wimp, I'd gladly pull some people over. Beat the pulp out of me. Therefore, I just drive by. This, my friends, is where living the Christian life counts. There's some things like this one that I wish Patricia was at home today. Because funny thing, she sits over there on that side all the time whenever we go away together. And I don't even have to verbalize it. She can read my facial expressions. And she said already, what's the matter, he upset you? No, what makes you think that? But you know, when it comes to some of those interactions that we have with each other here in the church, and you can have in your family, by the grace of God, if we can just not have an opinion. And if you have it, we don't have to give it. Okay, so there's an opinion. There's some things that you just almost can't stop from having an opinion, but that doesn't mean it's okay, therefore, to say it. Or to express it, at least reframe that. All right, next three go together. Defend the one accused. Don't believe bad. And speak favorably of someone who is spoken about negatively.
That's right, yes, sir.
Defend the one accused. You want to stop a negative talker? Just defend the person. You say, well, what they're saying is true. Doesn't matter. They ought not to be saying it. And if you defend that person, you say, well, but they're guilty of it. Is there nothing good about that person? Is there nothing good about that person? Don't believe bad. The fact of the matter is that we're all too quick to believe bad. Okay? And we're sort of happy. Not grieved when somebody tells us
that's
something
right. We are,
bad
yes,
that an
sir.
Individual does. Oh, well, yeah, you know, I sort of thought, that doesn't surprise me.
Oh,
that, you know, and then speak favorably of someone that's spoken of. Just say something good that you know about.
That's right.
I had a man say this one time. I'd rather a guilty person go unpunished for a period of time than for a just person to be wrongly accused.
That's right.
Good. Okay. At a critical statement, countered by telling of a person's strong point. And that doesn't mean you're ignoring or eliminating or denying the problem that was just stated, but it avoids the tongue and listen to this, ear sins. Where the talebearer ceases, where there's no wood, what happens? Fire goes out. And so, you know, if you don't commit an ear sin by listening to it, they'll soon stop talking to you.
That's right.
Well, they'll stop talking to me. Is your life better?
No.
Because of such people? Proverbs 17:9, we must look at this. It's Proverbs 17 and verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeats a matter separateth very friends. You see, when it says covers a transgression, doesn't mean it says it's okay. Doesn't mean it condones the transgression, the sin. It's just simply that when you cover it, you don't promote it. As a matter of fact, when you don't cover it and you promote it, separates very friends. May not be you and the friend, but it might be somebody else and that individual. And then the next one is use scripture in the home. If you don't have Bible verses on the walls, get some. You can find some very attractive looking ones. At the very least, you can go online and print them out, frame them. But signs. And then how about in conversation? You see, if you're reading the Bible and you're praying, now what's going to happen is that scripture's there. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And when the heart is filled with scripture, and the Spirit of God will bring it to your remembrance, and you'll be able to quote a verse, give a verse, or at least say, you know, I don't remember exactly how it goes, but it's something like this. All right, that's moving in the right direction. Amen. All right, and and then the next thing is when someone is spoken about, respond with, and I've never had to use this, but I knew a man who did. And when someone is spoken about, reply to the one that's speaking to you with, tell you what, let's go talk to them about that. Okay, now like I say, I've never had to use it, maybe because I've never been bold enough to do it. The man who told me it was. But you can definitely, and I found this to work, when something negatively said about somebody, oh yeah, boy, I'm sorry to hear that. Tell you what, let's pray for them. Let's take a minute right now and pray for them. Yeah, well, I'm just standing right out there. Well, it's all right. Just come over here. Let's step over here and let's pray for them.
Yeah, come on.
You know what that's going to do?
Oh, sounds different over there.
You know what that's going to do? That's going to either get them to stop and think about what they're doing and saying. Okay? Or it's going to get them to stop coming to you to say such things. But that's okay. You say, well, then they're my friend. They're really your friend? They're trying to pollute your heart and mind and ears? Stop and think about it. Is that really what a friend does? And if you're their friend, you'll help them by saying, I'll tell you what, let's pray for them. And not just let's pray for them. You pray at home, I'll pray at home. Let's step aside here and pray for them. Oh, powerful. Powerful. All right, next thing. Don't spend time arguing a matter. Some people, that's no problem. And there are others of us who can argue at the drop of a hat. Now, which are you? Like the ones I just spoke of, or like the ones I said others of us? I was surprised. Recently, I had the opportunity to speak at the men's breakfast at Eden, New York, at Faith Bible Baptist Church. And when Pastor Cole introduced me, he said, I've always appreciated the soft spokenness of Pastor Hain. I thought, Is there another pastor? I just never thought of myself that way. I'm glad he perceived me that way, but I'll just leave it there. Don't spend time arguing. Another one, don't spend unplanned time. Don't spend unplanned time. It can lead to idle talk. Have specific purpose. Stick to the purpose. And here's something else. Work. Yeah, work. I don't have a job. I can't work. I'm disabled. I don't mean occupation work. I mean just work. How often do you clean your home? You could do it weekly. How often do you wash the windows? You can do it weekly. How often do you wash the floor? Oh no, you're gonna. Yeah, you can do it weekly. And if after you do all of that kind of work, go outside and sweep the dirt. Well, I was going to say sweep the sidewalk, but I got to thinking, you know, Maury's don't have sidewalk. Well, a short stretch there, you know. In Reading, Pennsylvania, the church that I pastored, first church I ever had, was in a Polish Catholic section. And it was said of them, and I believed it, that those Polish ladies would wash their front porches and steps with a scrub brush. Now, I never saw it, but I believe it because of how clean things were. The point I'm trying to get at is if you're working, you don't have time to be idle. I got a scripture written down here. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13. Wherewithal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. Now, these would not be idle, wandering about from house to house if they were staying in their own house and taking care of it.
Right.
And not only idle. I mean, these not only sit around not doing anything constructive, but they are tattlers also and busybodies. Speaking things which they ought not. If they weren't idle and they were busy doing what all can be done. You say, well, I got all kinds of energy and I could do all of that and still have time left. Then clean the car every week. And then clean your husband's truck every week. Okay. And then bake some cookies for the kids. Amen. And the pastors. And you get the point. I don't know your life enough. All I know is that if we just keep ourselves busy, we won't be idle, which leads to being a busybody. Well, I got to move on here. Don't spend time with people who have a critical spirit. Okay, negativism is contagious. Criticism can be learned. If you know there's somebody that has a critical spirit, don't spend time with them. I don't mean self-righteously ignore them. Just don't spend time with them. What's more important? The nourishment of your soul? The pollution of your mind? And then 13, walk away from tongue sins. Not pharisaically. Well, I don't want to listen to that shit. You know, stomp off, showing how righteous we are. No, not that. But just don't hang around to hear it. I gotta end this thing. We already ran out of time. I'm glad this series is over. This is just taking way too long. If someone is discouraged or being tempted, a seemingly innocent but unnecessary statement about somebody or something in the church can be all that it'll take to cause them to quit or to get upset. It may not be a big deal to you to say it, but if they're teetering on the edge, it might be all they need. That downer thought that you say to them, that might be all they need to drop out. Yeah. Let me ask you this, and I'll close with it. Oh, I have two things to ask. How do you feel around a tongue sinner? Do you feel peaceful and edified? Or do you feel disturbed, dirty, guilty? That ought to in itself be enough. Now, the last thing. Others won't want to come to Black Creek Baptist Church if people in it are known to talk about other people in it or speak negatively of something that's been done. Pastor, I'd like to ask you to close in prayer, and then we're going to have a song that we'll sing to conclude the service. If you would close us in prayer, remember the various things as you're able to.
Father, for one thing, I ask that if it would please you, if it would help this neighborhood, that you would bring forth witnesses who saw that horse torn.
Yes.
Pray that you do that. But we pray